fit to hear and to receive from you. Father, we pray that even as we've just sung, that indeed your kingdom would come in the name of Jesus. We pray that in every one of our lives, in 2020, Father, that your will would be done in the name of Jesus. We pray for our community, we pray for our city, we pray for our nation, that your will would be done in the name of Jesus. And Father, we bring it down even to this morning, that as we go into your word, that Father, that word that you have for every individual, that Father, you would open our hearts and we would receive in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray that you help us, that none of us would miss that which you have for us today in the name of Jesus. We see in scripture, we know by experience, that when you have a word for us, the enemy does everything to distract, everything to snatch, everything to stop us from hearing that word. But Father, I pray for my brethren, I pray for myself, that today we would receive your word in the name of Jesus. We will not sleep, our minds will not wander, we will not be distracted as you speak to us. Father, I pray that your word today we would hear in the name of Jesus. And that this word, that it would mix with faith. It would be profitable. We would go and we will be doers of your word. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to say it again like it's a good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm so sure we can do better. Good morning, everyone. Fantastic. It's a good morning. So we thank God that we can come, that we can worship together. It's a privilege. There are many Christians who can't do what we're doing, so let's never take it for granted. And I know that God has a word for us, and like we prayed, my prayer is that none of us would miss what God wants to say to us today, in Jesus' name. So during the week, I was catching up on some of the messages that I had missed, because we were away towards the end of the year, so we missed some messages. And last week I was in the children's church, so I missed the messages. So I was listening to the messages, and I'm not going to quiz you on what they've been, but the messages that I listened to was one that we had in December that talked about a life of fullness with Christ. Was anybody here? Anybody here when we had that message? I'm pretty sure that Brother David was not preaching to himself. We don't remember that message. Do you know what? Revisit the podcast. Just subscribe to the podcast, Amazing Grace Leicester. Let's make it a habit to go back to these messages, to listen to them, so that we can be doers of God's word. You know what the Bible says? It says, if you hear the word and you don't do what you hear, you're not deceiving God. You're not shortchanging God. The Bible says that we're deceiving ourselves. I pray that we'll not be numbered among these ones. So I really want to encourage us. Let 2020 be different. Revisit the messages. Make sure that you're being a doer of the messages. So, because nobody seemed to remember, I'd like to encourage you this week, revisit that message, a life of fullness in Christ. So many things were said. Last Sunday, it was, what do you see? In 2020, what do you see? During the Bible study, we looked at setting, fulfilling, and measuring our goals in 2020. At vigil, for those of us that were there, we looked at trusting God with all our hearts. So I was thinking about all these messages, and you know, I thought to myself that if every one of us runs with these messages, we can't stay on the same level. Our lives can't be the same. But if we just hear them, great service, we go out and we don't remember them, then they can't do what God wants those words to do for us. So I pray that, it's not a prayer, I'm encouraging you in 2020, let's be determined to do better. Let's not take God's words lightly. Let's not take God's words lightly. I like to remind people, and I'm going to remind us again today and remind myself as well. Every time you hear God's word, every time God's word comes to you, there's a responsibility that has been placed on you. And that responsibility says, what am I going to do with the word that I've heard? And that's why sometimes we pray that the word wouldn't stand against us. But if I don't do what I have heard, then the word will stand against me. So this morning, as God speaks to us, there's a responsibility that's being placed on you to do something. with that word. And I pray that none of us would fall short in Jesus' name. So I want you to just close your eyes, and we're going to spend just a few minutes. I want you to pray for yourself that everything that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you this morning that you would hear. I want you to pray for yourself that you would not miss God in the word that's coming this morning. And I want you to pray for yourself that this responsibility that has been placed on you, that is going to be placed on you, that you would not fail, that you would be a doer of the word, that you will be a doer of the word. Just pray for yourself for a minute and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. I need to hear from you. Help me to embrace your word. Help me to run with your word. And so shall it be, because in Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen. Amen. So this morning, by God's grace, we're going to be looking at the topic, agree with God. So agree with God in 2020. And I want you to help me just nudge your neighbor and say to them in a very, don't say it like you're half asleep, or say it like you know they're not going to do it anyway, but say to your neighbor, say, agree with God in 2020. If they don't look like they're receiving it well, say it like a declaration. Agree with God in 2020. Okay. So Amos 3:3. It's a verse that we all probably know. Amos 3:3. And I want us to read it together. Amos 3:3. Amos 3:3. Amos 3:3. Or do we all know it by heart? And we don't need to wait for the projector. Do we know it? Okay, let's go for it. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Let's say it again. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? So this verse says, it's asking the question, and if you read it in the context of the question, the answer is clear. Can two people walk together unless they're agreed? When two people walk together, you're going in the same direction. You're making progress together. You're heading for a destination. And it says, can two walk together unless they're agreed? If I ask Blessing to come, and I want to go that way, and Blessing decides she's going that way, and we're trying to walk together, is it going to work? You would find out who's stronger between the two of us, right? One person is going to drag the other, or we'll just hinder ourselves, and we won't make progress either way. So this verse says, can two walk together unless they're agreed? And God's word for us this morning is that agree with God. Because if we don't agree with God, we can't make progress with God. If we don't agree with God, where he wants to take us, the direction that he's taken us this year, we cannot follow through on it. So the verse says, can two walk together unless we agree with God? So we must agree with God to walk with him. But what does it mean to agree? You know, just going back to the basics, it says to have the same opinion about something, to concur, to accept a suggestion or an idea. Again, if Blessing and I were trying to walk together, and I said to Blessing, let's walk towards Fumi at the back. If Blessing says she agrees with me, when we start walking, what's going to happen? Is Blessing going to head off in that direction? No, we're going to walk together, right? And you know, sometimes they say words are cheap. I can tell you that I agree to any and everything. But that word agree, it's a verb. It's a doing word. And the proof of the pudding is in what I do or don't do. So I can tell you that I agree to so many things. God might say so many things that he wants me to do or about my life. And I might say, Lord, I agree, I agree, I agree. But if I am not walking in line, if I am not doing, then actually I don't agree. Now, in 2020, again, say to the person next to you, agree with God. Agree with God. Agree with God. So there's a passage, we're not going to read it, but it's a passage that I believe we all know in Luke 5 from verses 1 to 11. It wasn't part of my message at all, but when I woke up this morning, I woke up with a very strong sense of urgency, and this passage was really, really in my mind, and I had no plans to go there. So I woke up and it was just there. And I know without a doubt that God has a word for somebody from it. So I'm just going to say what was on my mind and on my heart when I woke up on this passage. So in this passage, Luke 5, 1 to 11, we know it. The Bible tells us in verse 1 that Jesus, the multitudes had come to hear God's word. And all the multitudes were surrounding Jesus to hear God's word. Fantastic. But then the Bible says that there were two boats. And the fishermen, they weren't part of the multitude that had come to hear God's word. The fishermen had left their boats. They were washing their nets, right? And Jesus starts an interaction with them, uses Peter's boat and so on. But then the verses that we're going to, in verses 4, verses 5, Jesus then says to Peter, after he had used his boat and he had spoken to the multitudes and all that, he says to Peter to throw out his net for a catch into the deep. And Peter says to Jesus that we've toiled all night. You know, we're fishermen, we know this business, and we've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. They were tired, they were hungry, they were washing their nets so they could go home, maybe sleep, eat, and try again another evening. But Jesus says to him, do this, gives him an instruction. And Peter says, we've toiled all night. In the natural, it doesn't make sense because fish, they don't come out at this time. We know when the fish come out, and we toiled throughout that period. Nothing happened. But Jesus has given an instruction. And Peter says, nevertheless, at your word, and he obeys. And we see when we carry on reading those verses, and I encourage you to go back and read them, he obeys, and then some things start to fall into place. They catch such a large amount of fish that the nets are breaking. And the Bible says that Peter falls in awe. Suddenly he realizes he sees Jesus in a totally different light. He falls in awe. He says he's a sinner and all that. But then they leave everything. They follow Jesus. But Jesus then says something key to him. Up to that point, what Peter thought he was a fisherman. But then Jesus says to him, this is who you are. I would make you fishers of men. I would teach you how to catch men. So Peter was at a destiny-defining moment. And you wouldn't think that catching fish has anything to do with destiny and purpose. I mean, fish is fish. But if Peter had not obeyed Jesus that day and thrown out that net, the story would have been totally different. And I believe strongly that there's a word for somebody here. There's something God is asking you to do. It doesn't make sense to you in the natural, but you are at a destiny-defining moment, and what you do or don't do is going to affect the rest of your life. So I want to encourage you. Like I said, I had no plans to go to Luke 5, but that message, if it's for you, even though it doesn't make sense, even though it's hard, just agree with God and do it. And I pray that God would help you in Jesus' name. So what do we need to agree with God about? So many things. The first one is we need to agree with God about who he says that you are, right? Who he says you are. So Peter thought he was a fisherman, and suddenly God says, this is who you are. We need to agree with God. The priorities, your priorities for 2020, you need to agree with God. Maybe you had some fantastic plans that you had for yourself, and God says that actually, no, this is what I want you to focus on in 2020. We need to agree with God. Your goals, your assignments, the good works God wants you to do in 2020, we need to agree with God. I thank God for Sunday school. In Sunday school, we were looking at a long life and the things that we need to do to have a long life. And by God's grace, if Jesus tarries, we would all live till ripe old age in Jesus' name. None of us would die before our time in Jesus' name. But you know, even if you live to be 150, right? Not sure many people want to live to be 150, but even if you did, in the light of eternity, I love the hymn. You know, the hymn said, after we've been there 10,000 years, in the light of eternity, no matter how long a person lives, it's so brief. It's like blinking your eyes, right? So in that sense, life is short. And so if we don't agree with God, we don't live a life of purpose. And all that God has for us to do, you know, the giftings that he has given you, the assignment that he has for you, it's time-bound. After a while, there's some things that you can't do anymore. And so if we don't realize that life is short in that sense and start to agree with God now, God forbid, we would look back and find that we have wasted life. And that's why in Ecclesiastes 12, it says that remember God in the days of your youth. As a young person, there's some things that you can do that when you're 80, you will not be able to do them. So my prayer is that we would agree with God because we have this brief time, this brief window in eternity to fulfill purpose, to fulfill the assignments God has given of us. So we need to agree with God early. Psalms 90 verse 12. Psalms 90 verse 12, we all know it. I'm going to read it in the Good News Translation though. Psalms 90 verse 12 in the Good News Translation says, teach us how short our life is so that we may become wise. So that we may become wise. Why do we need to agree with God? One of the reasons why we need to agree with God is that when you agree with God, It opens your eyes to his enablement. It opens your eyes to his provision for you to fulfill the assignments that he has given you. So for instance, if we look at Genesis 1, verses 26 to 28, this is the very first assignment instruction that man was ever given. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." The key thing that I want you to pick up from these verses is verse 28. What God does first is that he blesses them. And then after he blesses them, he gives them instruction. He gives them an assignment. And in that blessing that he gave them everything that they need to fulfill. Now, all they had to do is agree with God and then run with it. So when we agree with God, it opens our eyes to see his enablement. And the reverse is also true. When we don't agree with God, then we don't see his enablement. Last week, listening to the podcast, I know that we looked at Numbers 13:33, when Moses sent out 12 spies, and he said they should go and spy the land. And you had 10 of them who saw things in one way, and 2 saw it in a totally different way. But what they all saw, were they not seeing with their physical eyes the same thing? Were they seeing the same thing? Absolutely the same thing. But one set, the 2, decided to agree with God. And because they agreed with God, they could see that they were more able because they had God. Now, the 10 that did not agree with God, they couldn't see his enablement. They couldn't see that God that sent the 10 plagues, God that opened up the Red Sea, this is the God that's backing them up. They couldn't see it because they didn't agree with God. And instead, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. In 2020, if you don't agree with God, you might be seeing what God wants you to see, but how you interpret it depends on whether or not you're agreeing with God. The 12 saw the same thing, but how they interpreted and processed it, totally different. My prayer is that in 2020, we would see what God wants us to see, we will agree with God, and we will process it right in Jesus' name. There are many people that are constantly praying for more and more and more grace. It's good to pray for grace. But the grace that God has currently put on their lives, they're doing nothing with it. You know, and Paul talks about this. In 2 Corinthians 6:1, Paul is pleading with them. He's saying, you know, "I'm pleading with you. Don't let the grace of God in your life be in vain." And then he talks about how in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he talks about how in his life, God's grace is not in vain. He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." So grace is almost, in a spiritual term, it's almost like we said agree is a verb, a doing word. Grace is supposed to spur you on to be and to do. But if there's a grace upon your life, there are graces upon your life, and you don't do anything with them, that's the grace of God on your life in vain. I pray that in 2020 we will agree with God so that God's grace upon our lives, it won't be in vain in Jesus' name. So that we won't be the people that are constantly praying for grace and never using it. My prayer is that we would use the grace, we would cooperate with it, and we would increase in grace in Jesus' name. So why do we need to agree with God? You know, when you agree with God, it sets your focus. It sets your focus. When you agree with God, it sets your focus. And I'm not a Star Wars fan, but I'm going to use a quote from Star Wars. So I'm not a fan, but some of the people in my house are. So I go and I watch it with them. Now, there's a quote in Star Wars that says this. It says, "Always remember this. Your focus determines your reality." It says, "Always remember this, your focus determines your reality." Now think about those 12 spies. 10 of them, what was their focus? It was on how inadequate they were. It was on how those guys looked like giants. And their reality was like, look, we're like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we were in them. Exactly the same experience, another two go through it, but their focus is different. Their focus is that God with us is greater than anything else. And so they see things differently. They say, let's go, we are well able, because your focus determines your reality. In 2020, agree with God and make sure that your focus is right. Because whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not, your focus will determine your reality. Let's back it up with some scripture. Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of grace. It says, lay aside every weight. Your focus in 2020 shouldn't be the weights around you. Your focus in 2020 shouldn't be the challenges. Paul is saying, he's saying, that's not your focus. Lay aside every weight. He says, the sin which so easily ensnares us, let's lay it aside. Don't let your sin and the inadequacies be your focus. He says, run with endurance the race set before you. And then he says, this is what your focus needs to be. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And he tells us how Jesus did it. Jesus went through everything that he went through, but he says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. His focus was not the people spitting on him. His focus was not the people putting nails in his hands. It was the joy before him. I go through this. I do this for mankind. People would be reconciled to God. In 2020, remember that your focus would determine your reality. If you're going through challenges and that is your focus, it would determine your reality. So I encourage us that in 2020, we need to focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. A quick example of someone who did this really well. In 1 Samuel 17, we see the story of when David comes to fight Goliath. We all know that story, right? We start hearing it right from children's church. So David has come to fight Goliath. And Goliath is this mighty guy that everybody, the generals, five-star generals, everybody's trembling. And this lad comes along. And on his way to go and fight Goliath, what does David do? What does he go and pick up to fight this giant? Stones. Do we know how many? Five. Even if you're going to go and fight the giant, at least you will carry, you know, substantial amount. Because so that if after those five, you know, you have backup stones. He went with five, right? Now, David goes, and Goliath sees David coming, and he's thoroughly insulted. A whole me. Look at what they sent, you know? And he looks at David, and he's perplexed, right? And then we'll read verses 40. We'll read verses, I'm going to go a bit earlier. We'll read verses 42. So from verse 42, 1 Samuel 17, it says, and when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Now this is David, and this is about how your focus determines your reality. In verse 45, David says, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. So it's not that David didn't see Goliath. He saw him and he saw all the equipment and armor, right? He says, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I would strike you and take your head from you. And this day I would give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the bird of the air, to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Your focus determines your reality. Before he put a stone, one of his five, before he put a single one into that slingshot, David had seen. His focus was that I'm going with God. And because of that, David didn't have a sword, but David saw himself with a sword cutting the guy's head off. And he saw. And because he saw, that was his reality. He saw, he agreed with God, and that was his reality. But I want us to also note that Goliath too saw something, right? In fact, Goliath declared what he saw first. Did we notice that in the passage, right? But the difference was that David was agreeing with God. That's where the power is. Goliath was just saying his own thing, no agreement with God. It wasn't a God thing. So in 2020, no matter what comes, whether it's challenges, whether it's victories, whether it's joys, no matter what, agree with God. Let your focus be right. Let your focus be right. So in 2020, we said, what do you see last week? And it's really, really important because what you see and how you interpret it and what becomes your reality depends on whether you're agreeing with God or not. There are many things that God has said about us. There are many things that God might have been saying to you as an individual, as a family. But for you to walk in the reality of those things, you have to agree with God. That's why we read some passages in the scripture and we look at our lives and we say, God, why am I not walking in this reality? We need to agree with God so that it can become our reality. In Jeremiah 1, we all know the story of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1, he has an encounter with God. God's word comes to him. And God says to him that, you know, before you were born, I called you a prophet to the nations and all that. And we see here how Jeremiah saw himself. Jeremiah is like, I'm just a youth. I'm a young person and I can't speak. Now, if you're a prophet to the nations and you can't speak, that's a bit of a problem, right? Because that is, you know, you're speaking for God, you're God's oracle. That's how he saw himself. Now, if Jeremiah, the conversation continued, but Jeremiah had a change in mindset. If Jeremiah had held on to that mindset of, I'm just a youth, I have no words, I have nothing anybody has to hear. In fact, I don't even know how to speak it. He could not have stood before nations and boldly declare the word of God. So Jeremiah in that chapter 1, he agrees with God. God touches his mouth and then God says, what do you see? Jeremiah tells God what he sees and God says something profound. God says, you have seen right. Jeremiah could not start to see right until he agreed with God. Like those 10 spies, we can be seeing, but till we agree, we can't interpret and see it right. It's very important that we agree with God. What are some of the things that God has said about us? John 14, verse 12. John 14, verse 12. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he would do also. And greater works than these he would do, because I go to my Father. This is Jesus saying about you, saying about me, that we would do greater works. Are we doing greater works than Jesus did? The enablement is there. We need to agree with God, put it before us as a focus, and by God's grace, it will become a reality. Mark 16, 17 to 20. Mark 16, 17 to 20. It's another popular one. It says, and these signs would follow those who believe. In my name, they would cast out demons. They would speak with new tongues. They would take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it would by no means hurt them. They would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. My prayer is that in 2020, that this is the year that we would agree with God so that these things become a reality. So that when somebody tells us that they're not feeling well, our default mode is, have you been to the GP? But we'll remember that actually Jesus said that I would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. And so I agree with God. I lay hands on the sick and they would recover. But if I don't agree with God, I'm always going to be reaching for the paracetamol. And we talked about health. It's not that God doesn't use the medical world and all that. He does. But there's some things that he has said about us that if we don't agree with, we'll never walk in that reality. And you know, the sad thing is that yet we have the enablement, the empowerment with us. I pray that none of us would walk in 2020 lower than God has called us to in Jesus' name. So how do we agree with God? How do we agree with God? You know, at the Excellent Conference in November, one of the things that we talked about was your self-portrait. Your self-portrait, and everybody has a self-portrait, how you see yourself, right? So those 10 spies, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. And how you see yourself, you know, somebody put it a different way. The person said, the stories that you tell yourself, they're incredibly important. Now, how do you agree with God? The first thing is that your self-portrait, those stories that you tell yourself, it has to change. Because the sad thing is that God might be saying amazing, awesome things. In fact, other people might be looking at you and they see greatness. But if your self-portrait is, I'm inadequate, I'm not good enough, then that would be your reality. That's how you would walk. So we need to change and get right how we see ourselves. Proverbs 23, verse 7, the beginning part of it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Again, what's your inner focus? Because that would be your reality. So what's the stories that you're telling yourself? Are you telling yourself that you're tired, you're fed up, you're unable to do what God has called you to do? What are the stories that you're telling yourself? Are you telling yourself that, you know what, I'm an average student, and yet the Bible says that you have better understanding than all your teachers? What are the stories that you are telling yourself? Incredibly powerful. I give a really old example. When I had just got to the UK many, many years ago, so I was starting off at uni, and one of the things that the first teacher to address us said to us, she said, you're no longer in secondary school and college, so don't expect to be getting grades in the 90s, you know, 90 this percent and 90 that percent. You're now in uni, you know, you don't get those kind of grades anymore. And for me, I just knew that everything she was saying, she wasn't talking to me, because I had come from some really challenging and difficult situation, and I had come to the UK focused. I knew exactly what, by God's grace, I was going to come out with. So she said that, and I didn't even take it on board. But you know, somebody else would have heard that and thought, it's true. So uni is not like secondary school and just be happy, oh, I got a 60, glory, you know? But you know what happens when you have a focus and how it becomes your reality? To God's glory, in her course, you know what I got? To God's glory, I got 100%, right? So the next set, she probably didn't say that to them anymore. But my point is that if I had taken that on board, and that had become my story, my reality would have changed, right? We used to joke at a time when we didn't know any better. We'll joke and we'll say, oh, maths is like the peace of God. It passes all human understanding. And we thought it was so funny, you know, and we'll laugh and we'll be saying all these things. But your focus determines your reality. So we need to be careful that our focus is right. And what are some of the things that affect your self-portrait, that could affect the stories that you tell yourself? A very big one is other people. Other people. You know, for our young ones, for our children, it could be somebody who's in authority over you, like your parents, your teachers. You know, how many brilliant, brilliant children has a teacher just killed their greatness by saying the wrong thing? And the same way, somebody else that everybody said, this guy's mediocre, the teacher sees something in them, says something to that child that changes the story that they're telling themselves, and suddenly greatness comes out of this child. So as parents, we have to be careful, because the things that you're saying to your children, you're helping to form the stories that they might tell themselves their entire lives. They're internalizing those things. And be careful what people are saying to your children as well. But even for adults, somebody says something to you, and maybe when you got here, you weren't thinking that way. But they tell you, they say, oh, what you can do as a black person in the UK, very limited, or the level you can go to. And you take it on board, and suddenly it becomes one of the stories that you're telling yourself. And so in the workplace, something happens, and you say, oh, it's because I'm black, can't get beyond this point. What are the stories? And yet God says that you would be head and you would not be tail. God says that kings and queens, they would serve you. What are the stories that you're telling yourself? So what people say can affect that. You know, I was looking at the story of Einstein, and it's really, really interesting. We all know Einstein. What's that equation? E is equal to MC squared. Okay, so it's been a while. Okay, but we all know Einstein, right? Was Einstein a brilliant guy? He was incredibly brilliant. But they say that when Einstein was young, that actually he was quite slow. That he was so slow that his parents thought maybe he had a learning disability. That's how bad it was. And this guy goes through school, and he doesn't do fantastically well. They said, in fact, when he wanted to get a job and he needed a reference from one of his lecturers, the reference was so bad that he was finding it difficult to get a job based on the reference that he got. But this dude had greatness inside of him. Now, if he had listened to what all that was saying, and the story he was telling himself was, I'm nothing, then the greatness would never have come out. So the stories that you tell yourself are important. And pay attention to what you're saying to yourself. Pay attention to what you're saying to yourself. What else can affect our self-portrait and the stories we tell ourselves? Circumstances. So things happen. So a student fails. And instead of realizing that actually failure can be a very good learning point that would spur them onto greater things, they decide that, you know what, I'm a failure. I'm an average student. I can never do well. I can't excel. And they start to tell themselves that story. That's their focus, and that becomes their reality. So many things in life that because of the circumstances, we let that form our story and our portraits, but that's not what it should be. So what we need to do is we need to change these stories, these self-portraits, and how do we do that? And the number one way that we do that is we go back to God, because it's God that knew that Peter was not destined to be a fisherman for life. It's God that knew that before the beginning of time, Peter was going to be a fisher of men. So we go back to God and we say, God, help me with the stories that I'm telling myself. Help me with the self-portrait. But not just that, we need to get into the Word of God. And I know sometimes we say these things over and over, but it's so true. In 2020, we can't afford to take God's Word lightly. You know what happens? Even if you don't realize it, when I'm studying God's word, when I'm meditating on God's word, when I'm praying God's word, when I'm declaring God's word, stuff is shifting, stuff is changing. That's why the Bible says that we should renew our minds. Because when you're studying the word, when you're taking it in, it's changing your mind, it's changing your heart. That's why in the Psalms it says, your word have I stored in my heart that I may not sin against you. And you might think nothing is happening until you come upon a situation. Somebody says something to you, and because of the word that you've been processing, you've been soaking yourself in, from the inside of you, a story comes up and says, nah, that's not me. This is who I am. But if we're not engaging with the word, if we're not soaking the word in, if we're not studying the word, then we remain the same, and we keep on telling ourselves the stories that others have put in us, the stories that circumstance has put in us, the stories that for some of us, it's our internal, it's the inadequacies that we think we have, or our insecurities that have determined these stories. But when you start to read God's word, if you're a fearful person, when you start to meditate on God's word, that's when you realize that actually, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but he's given me the spirit of power and of a sound mind. That's when you start to think, maybe you're somebody who you lack confidence, but you're engaging in God's word. And that's when you start to realize that the Bible says that God would be my confidence and he would keep my foot from being caught. And that's when you start to walk in the authority of who God says that you are. We have to engage with God's word. Don't just say, this year I'm going to really get into God's word. Have a plan. Have a plan. How are you going to really get into God's word? Get around other people. Iron sharpens iron. Make sure that you have a time, a place when you're studying. It's life and death. If you don't do this, the stories, your focus would be wrong in 2020. You wouldn't agree with God and you'll miss it. But I pray that that will not be any of our portions in Jesus' name. How do I agree with God? You need to be very radical if you're going to agree with God. And when I say radical, I mean that there's some things that you need to cut back on. It might be that program that you binge watch on. And if you check your time and how you spend your time, actually that program is like the God in your life, right? So it might be that in 2020, you might decide that actually, you know what, we're not doing you this year. Instead of doing you, we're going to subscribe to some Christian podcasts and spend time in the Word. It might be that you need to, so for instance, if I use myself as an example, I'm like a night person. I'm trying to change that because we've been doing all this health thing about sleeping well and all that. So I'm working on it. But by default, I'm a night person. So I stay up till really late and that's like my time. I've always kind of been like that. So I like to study at night. So even when it comes to the word and all that, I like to study at night. But what I like to do when I wake up is I like to have my audio Bible on. And so as I'm getting ready and all that, I'm listening to the audio Bible, I'm thinking about it, and I might go back and back and back on a chapter. And then for my studying, I don't like to listen. I'm one of those people, I'm very old school. I like to read. I like to read it, but then I'm soaking all this in. So when I'm working at work, because at work I'm on the computer for most of the time, I'm listening to podcasts, I'm listening to messages, I'm thinking about stuff. Now you want to do that. you want to bless and say, Blessing is one of my key friends. I want to call Blessing and say, Blessing, have you seen this verse in the Bible? What do you think about it? Toby and Blessing, you want to be calling yourselves, talking about the scripture. Don't just talk about programs and things like that. Talk about the Bible. Engage. I want to disturb Diola and say, Diola, what do you think about this verse on worship? You know, engage with each other because iron sharpens iron. I pray God would help us in Jesus' name. But we need to be intentional. In Bible study, we were saying that for 2020, let intentional be one of your favorite words. Be intentional. Because if I say I'm going to do it and I have no plan, the odds I'm not going to do it. That's not agreeing. So let's be intentional. Let's be intentional. Commit to meeting up with other believers. And here's where I want to encourage us. Let's try. Not let's even try. Let's commit this year. The midweek services that, you know what, I'm going to come. I'm going to come so that iron can sharpen iron. I'm going to come to receive the word. It's great studying by myself, but it's amazing when I'm sharing with people. Because if I'm sharing with Bumi, for instance, she might see something that I didn't see. And I share what I saw, and we're learning from each other. Iron is sharpening iron. We need to do that. So we need to commit to agree fully with God, with who he says that we are in every area. In every area. We need to pray more this year. We've been told that already. Even the prophecy says that this year, the RCCG prophecy, that this year is a year in which God is going to answer prayer. We need to commit to praying more, but not just as something that I just say, but really as in agreeing. How am I going to do it? And start doing it. Start doing it. Start doing it. We need to fast with the children. We're saying they should consider a journal. We said it at Bible study too. Having a journal that just journals your spiritual work with God in 2020. So as you're studying the scripture and God lays something in your heart or something jumps up at you from the word of God, write it down. Maybe you're praying about something, write it down. And then you can look back. I was saying how I was looking back at a journal from 2014 and there's something that God has made a way for and opened up for me this year. I wrote it down in 2014, January, that I felt it impressed in my heart that God was going to do this thing. And here I am, 6 years later. God has done it. But it was journaled. I can look back and see the goodness of God. You prayed about, sometimes I have different things. I'm praying for different people. I have them from 2014. I can look down and see that God's been faithful. Sometimes I go back to some of these journals and I get an insight that I had forgotten that I got back then. And the word of God comes alive again. So let's do that. And if you find that you've committed to journaling during your study time, and you look at your journal and you see you haven't written anything in 2 weeks, then you can start to think, did I not read anything in 2 weeks? And then it's like, oh my days, it's only during church that I've been hearing God's word. Something's wrong. And then you can recalibrate. But we need to be intentional. So let's be very, 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 very intentional. So the Bible says again in Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they're agreed? The answer is they can't. And so in 2020, we need to agree with God. We need to agree with God. I want us to pray today. So if you can rise to your feet, I encourage you to rise to your feet. I want us to pray. It's the start of the year. It's the start of the year. We're just, I think, 19 days into the year. So it's a good time to lift up our voices and really pray to God. And I'm going to ask you to pray for yourself. And you're going to pray and say to God that, Father, in every area of my life in 2020, help me to agree with you. So just lift up your voice. And if you're that person who had the message about obedience, I want you to pray for yourself and say, Father, help me like Peter to be able to say that nevertheless at your word. Help me to be able to just obey you. So pray for yourself that in every single area of your life, that there won't be some areas that you keep from God, but in every area, is it in your spiritual life? Is it in your career? Is it in your family life? Is it in your thought life? Is it in your study life? Is it in your finances? That Father, in every area, help me to agree with you. Just lift up your voice and pray for yourself. And you want to pray for yourself that, Father, your grace upon my life, help me to cooperate with it. So that like Paul in 2020, I'll be able to say that your grace upon my life was not in vain. Father, help me that those areas where your grace has been in vain, open my eyes. Help me to see right. Help me to correct. Help me to labor like Paul did so that your grace is not in vain. Let 2020 be a year that I cooperate and engage with your grace like never before. Let 2020 be a year in which I increase in grace. I increase in grace because I'm using the grace that you have given me. Lift up your voice and pray. pray that in 2020, God would give you an obedient heart, a discerning spirit, a heart that is fully yielded to the Holy Spirit. To agree with God, we need to yield to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would speak things to you. He would nudge you. He would send people to you. Pray that God would help you to yield fully to Him. Pray that in 2020, God would give you a discerning spirit to be able to discern between what is of God and what is not of God. To be able to discern between who is of God and who is not of God. There's some things that would come our way in 2020, and they're fantastic things. They're good things. They're holy things. But they might not be God's will for us at that point in time. So pray that God would help you to be able to discern. To be able to discern. People, they become lukewarm. They become complacent. And they have no idea they're falling into that state. Pray that God would give you a discerning spirit. That in 2020, your spirit would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That God would help you. That God would help you in the name of Jesus. You're going to lift up your voice and say, Father, help me to discover in 2020 and to be fully who you say I am. Peter could have died a fisherman, but he didn't. He came to realize, he came to see who you said he was. Jeremiah could have died never being a prophet to the nations. But Father, there came a point where he agreed with you. Father, help me that in 2020, I would discover fully and be fully who you say I am. Who you say I am. Who you say I am. Let me not run races that you have not sent me. Let me not do things and assignments that you have not sent me on. Let me do your will. Let me do your will. And then you're going to pray for yourself that, Father, in 2020 and going forward, let me fulfill my ministry. Let me fulfill my ministry. A man, a woman's ministry is everything that God has placed in your hands. It could be in the workplace, in the community, in the church. So you're going to say, Father, help me to fulfill my ministry. Help me not to fail you. In 2020, let it be the year and going forward where I fulfill my ministry, where I'm everything that you've called me to be, where I fully agree with you. Can two walk together unless they agree? Father, help me to fully and truly agree with you in 2020. Help me to walk with you. Help me to make progress upon my high places. Help me to be light. Help me to make an impact in the lives of many. Help me to go out and be an ambassador of yours. When you've placed things within me, help me not to sit on them and never let them out. Help me, Father, to deploy to your glory in 2020. So we've talked about and we've prayed about agreeing with God. But the Bible also tells us that when two of us agree about anything on earth, that it would be done. So I just want us to take a couple of minutes at the start of the year and just sort out some things. So it might be that you really want someone to agree with you, because the Bible says there's power in agreement. When two people agree about anything in God's name, it would be done. So you want to sort out some things right at the start of the year. It might be struggles that you have. It might be the stories that you tell yourself, your self-portrait. It might be in some area you know you need help and you just want somebody to hold hands with you and agree so that it can be settled and sorted. I'm going to invite you, if you want a minister or pastor to pray with you, to just come forward quickly and somebody would grab your hand, agree with you, and in accordance to God's word, it will be settled. And maybe you don't want to come forward, then somebody near you, say to them, pray with me. And just get it in agreement, because there's power in agreement. So we'll just do that for a few minutes. Let's settle some things. January 19, 2020. Let's settle them. Let's settle them. So you want somebody to pray with you in agreement. Just come forward. Tell them what it is and they'll pray with you. Or you want somebody to pray with you where you're seated. Just say to the person next to you or in front of you, pray with me. There's power in agreement.
There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood of Jesus Christ. is victory.
There is victory in the blood. There is victory in the blood. There is victory in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is victory in the blood.
There is freedom.
There is freedom.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that has come to us today. We thank you for every prayer point that we have prayed. Father, we pray that in 2020, that we will be a people that would truly agree with you in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that in every area of our lives, this year and going forward, that we would know your will and we would do it in the name of Jesus. We pray that our self-portraits and the stories that we tell ourselves, that as we connect with your word, as we study your word, as we saturate and soak our lives with your word, that they would start to change and reflect what you say in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that as we go through this year, that none of us would live in disagreement with you in the name of Jesus. That none of us would run with stories that you haven't given us in the name of Jesus, but rather we would agree with you, that we would see right, we would believe right, we would do right, and we would be right in the name of Jesus. And Father, I particularly pray for the person that you spoke to today about obedience. Father, I pray that in your mercies that you would help your child to run with your word and be obedient in the name of Jesus. That this moment in their life that you say is a defining moment for their destiny, Father, I pray that they will not miss you in the name of Jesus. I pray that none of us would miss you in the name of Jesus. And we lift before you all our students who right now are doing their exams. We lift before you those who might have already done their exams. Father, we pray that in accordance to your word, that these ones, they would have better understanding and deeper insight than their teachers in the name of Jesus. That good success will be their portion in the name of Jesus. That they will be head only and never tail in the name of Jesus. And we commit this new week into your hands, Father. As we go, Father, we go in your grace in the name of Jesus. As we go in agreement with you. And because we are agreed with you, Father, we say that we walk with you. We make progress upon our high places this week and going forward in the name of Jesus. May we always be a people that walk and agree with you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. And let's share the grace and fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed week in Jesus' name. Amen.